The Beat of Sports, Martin Daniels. I mentioned to Scott Harris earlier that tomorrow I'll be down in Boca getting set to call a bowl game for UCF. Mike Tuck's going to sit in. And earlier I said to Scott, I don't even know the last time Mike Tuck sat in. And he reminded me it was back in March when all of this began. And I was in Fort Worth trying to figure out how to get home, trying to call a game and everything. And it leads to our next guest, our next story. Julia Henderson is the senior editorial producer for the 30 for 30 podcast, and the latest drop today, which is titled March 11, 2020, which you may not think of that date and think of anything, but in some ways it changed all of our lives and the role that a sporting event played in what we now know as a pandemic world. And Julia's kind of joining us and talk about the project. Julia, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
As I said, most people may not think March 11, 2020, but it truly is incredible to go back, which you do and quite well in this piece, that the sporting event may have been the thing that triggered this country to realize what was happening with this virus that we didn't know much about. And, yeah, a basketball game may have started the somewhat panic in this country.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like such a watershed moment. We've always talked about this day. Like, we all woke up in one reality. Coronavirus was still somewhat of a question mark. It was definitely getting closer. It was knocking on the door. But certainly if you had, hit the pause button and asked any of us what we thought was going to happen or what we understood about it, it would have been vastly different than what happened, how we all felt that night after, Rudy Gobert tested positive and the NBA suspended play. It just felt like that was a moment where things became real.
The game and that night, and you spoke to a lot of people. I'm going to ask you to share some of the folks that you spoke with, but just those couple of hours and the decision by Adam Silver and what it triggered, what was some of the feedback and stories that you heard?
Yeah, we talked to a lot of people, from, Rudy Gobert to his teammate Jordan Clarkson to the OKC former head coach Billy Donovan to their general manager Rob Hennigan, and even to Frankie J, who was put out to perform early to stall and buy time as they figured out how they were going to get people out of the arena and cancel the game, and a season ticket holder who was there. It just seems to be, and Sarah Todd, great Jazz beat reporter who was there in Oklahoma City at the game. Yeah, just like so much happened in the course of ultimately an hour or two, but like realistically in this, 5 to 10 minute period in which, the governor of Oklahoma, who we talked to, was at the game, he was there, to meet a company that people in his office wanted him to meet to do a bit of a wine and dine, and got a call from his public health commissioner, letting him know that they had tested a player on the Jazz and that has to come back positive. There's some, serendipity with him being actually in the building. He immediately, sent for someone to get him Clay Bennett. Clay Bennett and Sam Presti and Governor Stitt end up on the phone with Adam Silver trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they have, minutes to make this decision. It was fascinating to hear everyone's, it was just unfolding in real time. To everyone's credit, there doesn't seem to have been a tremendous amount of, panic or chaos, which could easily ensue here. A lot of people had to make tough choices quickly and seem to have done so in the smartest, safest way possible.
How significant was it that so quickly Silver didn't just shut the game down, he shut the league down?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge. I think a lot of people, talking to people, you get the sense that that feels like a very Adam Silver move. He's so smart and he's so conscientious about what he does, and he cares about the right things. He cares about safety and he cares about his players and he cares about people. And so I think, a lot of people were not surprised or expected that, if and when the virus entered the NBA, that Adam would take as drastic of a measure as was necessary. But in terms of how that landed with the outside world, I mean, Dr. Fauci in this podcast says it best, the NBA is such an ingrained part of American culture that it's almost sacrosanct. And so for Adam Silver and the NBA to suspend play on the cusp of the playoffs, there just almost could not be a bigger signifier to the American people that this is really serious.
The image of Rudy Gobert, the clip that people remember, touching the microphones as if it was no big deal, and then of all the people, it's him, and he's in this piece. How does Rudy Gobert feel about the role that he will forever play in this?
You know, I think Rudy has had quite a journey this year in terms of coming to terms with his role in all of this. I mean, he's really focused now on what he can do and what he can give back. I think it's been important to him this whole year to try to help other people, that if anything good comes out of this, it's in trying to help educate or spread awareness or to give back in some way. The moment of him touching those microphones, that video that was everywhere, is so fascinating to me. I mean, I'm sure if Rudy could take that back in a heartbeat, he would. Because it's just one of those things that gets taken almost entirely out of context. You know, we talked to Sarah Todd, the Jazz beat reporter. She was at that press conference where Rudy touched the microphones on his way out of his press availability. And everyone in the room at the time laughed, not because it was a joke downplaying coronavirus, but to them it read as a very intentional jab at what were at that point some NBA protocol shifts, which had changed the way media could talk to players, no more going into the locker rooms, no more going right up to someone on the court. They put in these semi-formal media availability where the press, you know, sat in the audience in one group and the player or the coach, whoever was being interviewed, was at least 6 feet away behind a table. And, you know, for the NBA, it was an effort to try to preserve health, but, you know, everyone that looked at it as, oh, you're saying the player's health matters and, like, the media's the threat. And so, as Sarah described it to us, you know, the Utah media loves Rudy. They have a good rapport with him. He's always available. They talk to him all the time. He's funny in his own wry way. He's nice. He's open. He's forthcoming. And so in that moment, they all read the room as he was making fun of this thing where you guys have to be over there and leave your mics on the table and I'm over here, less and not as a joke about coronavirus not being serious. And that's what Rudy, you know, when we interviewed Rudy, that's what he also said the intention of that moment was. Obviously, when you just cut the clip of him touching the mics and there being any sort of joking involved with anything that's related to coronavirus, it just looks horrible.
The news side of this, and Scott Van Pelt, Senator Doris Burke, Ramona Shelburne, people that cover news, that night, covering the sports story of it with a virus that most of us at that point still didn't really understand about testing and who had tests available. I know that's one of the fascinating parts about the podcast you have. Can you share a little bit about that as you spoke to some of the news people covering the event? Scott Van Pelt at SportsCenter, Doris Burke on site, and others, what that was like trying to provide information as we're still all learning what the virus was about to become.
Yeah, I was, you know, they would all probably describe it or did describe it as one of the craziest nights in their careers. You know, Doris said it was the most surreal night she's had, and she's been, you know, calling games on TV since 1990. SVP, like, had nothing to compare it to. You know, it was, he describes at one point as just like holding hands with his producer and tiptoeing through the dark. I mean, it was just, they had to really just be in the moment, take whatever information was coming their way from producers and do their best to process it and also communicate it and ask smart questions of the people they were talking to. And, you know, they were trying to figure out and learn as everyone else was, you know, at the time, you know, Doris was not feeling well. You know, she had been super run down. She assumed that it was the same sort of rundown that happens around that time every year. You know, at that point in the season, it's normal to feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel and your body starts to, like, shut down a little bit. It turned out, you know, the week after she was diagnosed with coronavirus, which she talked to us openly about, you know, she knows now looking back that she had to have had it that night, that when she was taking pictures with fans, when she was calling the game, I mean, she was shedding the virus, you know, and yeah, it was just, feels like the craziest night of everyone's careers.
You just mentioned Doris Burke, talking about Scott Van Pelt. Anybody of the many people you spoke to that just kind of stands out that you take away from this piece, which I know you worked a ton on, that you're like, wow, interesting story, what a person.
I mean, I would probably say that about everyone we talked to. You know, talking to Dr. Fauci was incredible. I did not, you know, he sort of pulled back the curtain, and not just, you know, about his testimony that morning, but about being at the White House that afternoon and the actual conversations that were involved in arriving at the need to implement a travel ban from Europe. His role in that decision making, his support of it, his role in trying to help craft the speech that Trump delivered that night. You know, J.J. Redick, who obviously the Pelicans and the Kings ultimately did not play that night, even though that came down to the wire. He was just, you know, I knew talking to J.J. would be a very smart and intelligent conversation. But I was, you know, I was moved and surprised by how, you know, our whole premise here is that this was a watershed moment and a moment where everything shifted. And, you know, you'll hear in this piece, he came back at us and was like, yes, but, you know, we still don't have this thing under control, and there's still people who don't believe in it. And so if 5 years from now, we still haven't gotten a handle of this and millions of people have died, then who the F cares what the NBA did on March 11th? And I think, you know, as we were working on it, that was a moment that like hit me in the gut and stuck with me.
Julia Henderson, senior editorial producer, 30 for 30 podcast, the latest drop today, March 11th, 2020. Look back at what now is certainly a famous night that brought the coronavirus to the forefront of sports and began our shutdown across this country. Again, check out the podcast, March 11th, 2020. Julia, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Steve Hogan, a good friend from Florida Citrus Sports. They've got two bowl games that they will get to play in the next several days. We'll chat with him next.